coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And that you can, but the quality, the production, the throwing in the various show assets, the citations and such, the sources, man, you there's just a lot to do. So I want to thank each and every one of you. Number one, for opening a Rumble account, thank you, and then going and following this broadcast. I got a jam-packed show for you tonight. But first, you know, I want to let you know that we've partnered with Gundry MD to share this information with you. And look, I'm going to tell you, in your medicine or in your pantry right now, maybe even in your medicine cabinet, you've got one of the healthiest foods on the planet. And it's not some weird, trendy superfood or anything like that. It's olive oil. And you've probably used for cooking, I'm sure, but there's other ways to use olive oil to help yourself look and feel younger. For example, it's a natural way to help you achieve a more youthful appearance. Besides helping you look younger on the outside, it's a fantastic tool for your insides as well. And according to Dr. Stephen Gundry, now this guy's a famous cardiothoracic surgeon, nutrition expert, and health advocate. You should get as much high-quality olive oil into your daily routine as possible. And whether you're taking a shot of it daily, I do that, or keeping a bottle of it in your medicine cabinet, whatever, just do it. But what kind of olive oil is best for your health? Well, any olive oil can give you some benefits, but if you're looking to get the best results, it matters a lot which one you pick. And the olive oil industry is huge. I was out today and seriously, I was doing some grocery shopping, which I like to do. I don't know, I'm weird, but I was in that aisle and man, there's just a lot of these. So anyway, you can tell by the numbers, like I said, of olive oil brands you see at the grocery store, and you can bet they're not all made with the consumer in mind. And many brands even cut corners one way or another to increase profits. When Dr. Gundry came out with this realization, he was appalled. So he, but some olive oils are so powerful, only make you maybe only take a few tablespoons a week to see the incredible health benefits. So how can you tell which one from which? Well, in an effort to answer that question, Dr. Gundry has decided to take a stand, release his personal research and findings. This video has gone viral that you're seeing since its release, and it's important that you see it so you can start benefiting immediately. You can watch the video right now by going to getolive1.com, getolive1.com/Hagman. That's getolive1.com/Hagman, or just click on the link below in the description box. I'm telling you, this is fantastic. People have taken his advice, have shared their results with him, saying the olive oil they bought after learning his simple rules has helped change their lives. Make sure you go to getolive1.com/Hagman, or just click on the description box below this video. And I want to thank you and thank them for partnering up with us and making these live broadcasts possible. All right, Steve is going to be with us in a moment. I just talked to him prior to the show. He's going to be on in a few moments, and Eric the Tech, you can let me know when he does come on. I know that he's doing his own podcast, but before I do, folks, tomorrow night is Friday night. Because of the format change, we're going to be able to bring you some absolutely rocking news, or the latest news about what to expect in the coming days, in real time. And I'm going to tell you something. I had a phone call today as well with someone who is, well, an attorney, okay, and an attorney working with the Trump campaign. Now, he doesn't have one. He doesn't have six. He's got a number of them. And now, he told me, he told me what to expect, or what I said, look, I want to tell the listeners and viewers of this broadcast, what could be, or what do you, Mr. So-and-so, attorney so-and-so, what do you expect the outcome to be? And he said, let me tell you, because we've war gamed this. And he told me. Now, he asked me not to mention who he is, but I thought, wow, okay. And I said, is anyone else talking about this? He said, yeah, there's one other person that I've heard, he's heard, talking about this particular scenario domestically. Okay, so tonight with Steve, we're going to be talking about the international things and the threat. But what he told me, you know, it surprised me, but it didn't surprise me. So if you want to know who the other broadcaster is, okay, the guy's number one on Rumble. So, you know, I'm just saying, you know, spoiler alert, I suppose. But if, depending on Steve's schedule tonight, like I said, you know, perhaps I might get into that tonight. If not, I'm going to hold it for tomorrow night and add to it with other sources. Thankfully, I've got that ability, thankfully, to get into the other sources. By the way, folks, I don't have my book or the book Bulletproof here by Jack Posobiec with me. But if you haven't read that book or if you haven't ordered that book, I would urge you to do so. It's not what you think. I'm not sure if that's the proper way. This looks at the totality. It looks at the totality. Thank you, Eric the Tech. This looks at the entire picture of the threats faced by President Trump. And I'll tell you something else it does. And I was thinking about this as I was reading this. And let me tell you, I'm either watching news or reading books or doing both until, you know, 3-4 in the morning and then getting up at 6-7 and doing the same thing. And the threats that are presented to President Trump right now are dire. And let me tell you something else. Every threat that is being made against President Trump is a direct, absolute direct result of A, the deep state, B, the media, yes, the media, which amplifies and choreographs they're stenographers for the deep state, but nonetheless, there will be more attempts on his life. And if he does prevail in the election, which personally, I think he will. I think he will. After talking with this attorney, but by the way, they're also, you have to understand, the different campaigns pay dearly for internal polling, as I said yesterday. And I mean, this is polling at the microscopic level. And it tells you, I'll just give you one example. It really dissects the polls. You won't see this on TV, okay? I mean, they pay a boatload of money for this. And the Harris campaign is in deep, 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 deep trouble, which is why you're hearing the very provocative statements being made by Harris, by Walz, Walz, jazz hands. But the communist cackles, McKnee pads, Harris, I'm telling you right now, is the spokesperson to demonize President Trump and get him killed. She is that's the only thing that she is tasked to do at this point. Think about that for a second. She's not running a campaign. That campaign collapsed. It collapsed subsequent to the debate, but it collapsed in a bad way, according to the internal polls. What the Harris campaign, and I hope I'm explaining this well enough, what the Harris campaign did is they were told to, okay, refocus. Essentially, if you can't win, you're going to have to destroy, or your job is to make sure President Trump is destroyed and the ideology that's driving the America First movement, regardless of what you think about President Trump, look, and regardless of what you think about Harris, I'm not trying to be political here. I'm just giving you the reality. You've got to destroy him. And you've got to destroy the people behind him. Because we cannot, and I'm now I'm filling in some blanks here. We can't afford to lose this election. We need to pack the courts, the Supreme Court, and then as well, we've got to get rogue judges at a federal level, and we have to re-infiltrate or infiltrate with additional communist personnel into the federal government itself. And I say communist, but it's really more of a demonic, satanic thing. And you may say, well, that's pretty, I mean, what are you saying? You know, it's the way it is. Eric Thecky, you will let me know, right? He just popped in. Thank you. All right. I didn't want to take a minute of his time. The guy's busier than heck. And if you haven't seen it, folks, Steve Quayle, I can't, it's hard for me to believe. I had to double check and triple check this, but he's on X now. You got to follow him. Yes, the real Steve Quayle on X, at real Steve Quayle. If you go to my homepage, I mean, if you're lost, go to my profile, whatever. It's the top tweet out there tonight. I mean, on top of everything, just give them a follow. And it's going to be worth your time. All right. So with that, let's bring on Steve Quayle. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, gen6.com. And oh, if you haven't done this already, have you watched the mega event? Yeah, it's still available. You can still watch it. It's really worth your time. The Glyph Translation Mega Event. I'm telling you, this it has a lot to do with today, with what's going on today. You'll be better for it. Gen6.com. But go to the Gen 6 Glyph Translation Mega Event. And seriously, I mean, if you really want some intense and informative stuff, there it is. But again, follow Steve at Steve Quayle, at Real Steve Quayle on X, formerly known as Twitter. Steve, how are you tonight, sir?
Good, Doug. It's been a while since I've done live radio or live podcasts. Excuse me, I'm still in the radio mode, but what a privilege to be with you on your first week of going live. And, you know, what I like about live podcasts and live radio is it's the imminency of the moment. In essence, we're on at, obviously, I'm Mountain Standard, so it's 6:13 my time, 8:13 your time. But a lot of stuff happens in the night. A lot of stuff happens in the early evening. And what's happening right now is the emergency action messages, all the things that are going on. I still see comments, even some on your comment section or whatever, and I'm not watching those, just so you know.
The chat. Yeah.
The chat. Yeah. It's amazing. Everybody's got an opinion, but my question is, what do those people with opinions do? What do they do with their time? Because what we're watching, even I posted two articles in the last 24 hours. One was a revisit to 2020, the year 2020, with a member of the Chinese Communist Party, that his name is Shen, C-H-E-N, Ping, P-I-N-G, and by Shen Ping, he basically made the statement, and I quote, "With our bioweapon, we destroyed the United States." That's a pretty powerful statement. So, ladies and gentlemen, before you start to try and put two and two together, we're going to give you the whole jigsaw puzzle in, you know, I hope an hour at least, that you'll understand asymmetrical warfare is being played and it's being initiated against you and I and all of us in the West every day. But we no longer just have to fight, quote, the communists. The communists have moved into the United States. When President Trump made the statement that Kamala was a Marxist, that was kind of an understatement, because she's a hard, totally involved communist. And what you're going to see, and you can mark my words on this, it doesn't, it's going to be a civil war that the left has made every effort to bring about. By the way, it was those people who are talking civil war. Now the left is saying if Trump, I mean, when you get James Carville, the bald-headed billiard ball with ears, talking about taking up arms if President Trump wins, when you have a destroyed military provoking four different belligerents, North Korea, China, Russia, and Iran, and you've got nothing to manufacture bombs, bullets, rockets, or advanced technology with, you've got to look for a bigger picture. A lot of people don't understand that this is spiritual warfare, and the spiritual warfare is real. And that's why most Christians, don't even realize what they're talking about in Ephesians 6:12, when they're talking, Paul talking in Ephesians 6:12 about we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, in the past, we've dealt with invisible enemies, and by the goodness and mercy and grace of the living God, we've been protected against a lot of that. But the gates of hell have opened now, and it's a whole new different world, Doug, because again, people are seeing phenomena that they cannot explain. Now, where it used to be an occasional UFO sighting or an occasional cryptid sighting, meaning some kind of a monster or a composite entity, a hybrid creature, now they're being seen different places almost in real time. It's 24/7 outer limits in the Twilight Zone mixed together. So I think that it's important that people understand one term, mutagenesis. Mutagenesis is the mutations taking place in not only the human genome, but the combined messenger RNA composite entities or hybrids. So, you know, tonight I want to cover with you, you know, a lot of territory. And the other thing we got to cover is the FEMA camps. I posted on my website tonight, stevequayle.com, the Jesse Ventura interview. I think it was like, 12, 14 years ago, maybe 17 years ago, with Alex Jones. In my opinion, if anybody wants a reality check beyond their bias, beyond their hate, beyond their want to kill the messenger at all costs. But you know what, Doug? It's interesting. They want to kill the messenger at all costs, but they want to make sure they don't miss your show. And I believe that those people that will not open their eyes because their bias blinds them, I believe these are the last opportunities they have before it all goes up. And what I mean by that, it all goes up, we're dealing with thermonuclear war that is going to take place. And now the United States and Israel and Britain have become the pariah nations because we are the ones, and NATO, all of NATO's composite nations, they're the ones that started the whole discourse on nuclear weapons. It was absolutely done years ago. We were warning about it, talking about it, and nobody ever brought it up until the West started talking about it. So in essence, what are we dealing with when you have an inferior, and by technology, an inferior military, no hypersonic missiles, when basic math tells you if something's 10 times the speed of your fastest missile, maybe even 15 times hypersonic, and guess what? They're already being demonstrated in the world, in Ukraine and other places. And now I think the greatest shock that's going to come to people is when they realize that all of these events taking place from all of the different restaurants shutting down, the 100 million pounds of food that has been, quote, confiscated pretty much from the public under the guise of listeria, with in the majority of cases, not one single case was reported. I mean, you know, just in the last week, there was over 20 million pounds of meat and meat products confiscated, quote, under the guise of food recalls. And ladies and gentlemen, no one, to my knowledge, and I it's limited, so if there's somebody doing it, please contact Doug or me, is tracking those food shipments down. Will they go on the underground highway? This isn't conspiracy theory. The highway was constructed to be able to move men, materials, and food and provisions beneath the highway systems in a totally underground system, and taking all that food to underground storage facilities. And Doug, what we're watching is the great starvation taking place in the nation. So that's what's critical on the screen tonight, in my opinion.
Well, Steve, can I ask you a question? Because,
sure.
Okay. I went to Sam's Club. It's like a Costco or whatever.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Okay, yeah. And today. And the shelves were pretty well stocked. The meat counter was pretty well stocked. I mean, well stocked. And I asked the, I guess you would call him a butcher or meat manager, whatever. And I said, have you been, straight out, have you been impacted? Has Sam's Club been impacted with recalls on meat, you know, mentioning Listeria? And he said, not us. And I'm not sure what he meant by that. So, and I didn't see much. I saw some product shortage, but not a lot. Is this a gradual thing, and is this geographically isolated?
I think that's a better question, Doug. It's geographically isolated, and it's also a function of convenience. You know, you can basically grab food, and also it's really a function of the location, especially on the basis of, you know, the blue states, the red states. And again, the Campbell's Soup Company truly was given a National Defense Authorization Act order to surrender all their food in their 400-acre warehouses, and the trucks were running 24/7. By the way, the information source of that is someone who works at Campbell's in a senior advisory role. So people are telling, but see, as long as, and just like you're explaining, as long as you see the food on the shelf, let's say one or two cans deep, one or two jars deep, it doesn't go beyond that. But what, I mean, it just, people just pass it by. But what's happening selectively in different parts of the country, there's no resupply. And look at where we're at. We're coming into, 24 days or so, well, less than a month before Thanksgiving and quote unquote the holiday season. But commensurate with the food being starved away from the American people, look at how many restaurant chains. And why restaurants are important. Number one, they were indicative of an economy that was working at work, and people who had to drive or maybe couldn't make it home in time for dinner or lunch, they were eating out at least one meal a day. But when you listen to the statements of the Target store manager, that's not a restaurant, but all, and even Home Depot, some of the biggest, and I would say this, the stores with the most exposure nationally, are saying people have run out of money. And Doug, I remember when I said the American middle class is being destroyed. Oh, you would have thought that, you know, the people couldn't handle that. So what you're seeing is, I would say this, you're seeing a select geographical location, but most people are not seeing the story behind the shelves that will not be resupplied, because under the National Defense Authorization Act, it's not just the finished product. My understanding was, and I'm telling you what the source is, not the name, but the bottom line, and again, this is the bottom line, is what happens when the restaurants shut down, especially the people that eat at fast food restaurants. And isn't it interesting how McDonald's has an attack on their Big Macs, or, you know, the minute, forgive me, within a day of President Trump's French fry serving, you know, in a McDonald's
restaurant? That was a quarter pounder, just to be accurate. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I don't eat there, so, you know, I think I'm too locked into the old McDonald's commercials, a Big Mac attack. But a quarter pounder, you know, in essence, the obvious is overlooked, for, I think, because people don't want to come to the, what I call, the reality-based conclusion that something really is going on. And no one can deny they go to the store and they're paying more. Okay, why is this important? Because the country is being systematically, I would say this, divorced from the blessings we used to have. I saw a comment in your chat room. Somebody was saying, you know, something from, of course, another foreign country, was saying something about, oh, this guy really likes to diss me because of the Bible. Well, the deal is that the word of God is coming to pass, and the four horsemen of the apocalypse, that's just not prophetic metaphors. That's literally happening. We've got death, we've got famine, we've got war, we've got drought, we've got all of these things going on. And look, I spent, well, I don't know how many years, close to a decade, on just the volcanic issue, meaning the volcanoes in Cascadia, which is where the action is. It's not Yellowstone Park. As I'm looking out to my south that way, you know, as the bird flies, it's 60 miles. So what I'm saying is that redirection and the gag orders that are upon the USGS and the U.S. Geological Survey and the people that would tell people what's really going on, if you notice, the facade is the illusion. This is the magic kingdom of lies. Any truth or any truth tellers are despised, belittled, and the mainstream accessories to genocide, MSATG media, maybe MSATGM, is not doing any investigation because they're all controlled by a central man behind the curtain. In this case, it's the three-letter agencies, because nothing goes out into movies or nothing goes on the screen by network programming unless it's cleared. And it's got to be cleared through what I call the Wizard of Oz crew behind the scenes. So you're not going to get a differing headline very rarely. Fox is the example of they don't follow that script, but they don't go off script either. We're at a point where what happens when everything that has been, quote, I would say this, bullified, there's a new word, Doug, bullified. The bullies have minimalized the truth in order to try and intimidate truth tellers. And I think we're seeing that, and you've experienced it, I've experienced it. Ladies and gentlemen, be praying for Alex, because he's really going through it. And when you've got the whole world hating you and the billionaires, you know, funding the hatred, only God can deliver Alex, and God is going to deliver him for I don't know how that looks, but you know, it's an interesting phenomenon. No matter how many people want you dead, how many people wish you dead, no matter how many people would like to fund operations or do fund operations, when God is in the equation, it doesn't matter, because he is the one who delivers his people. And, you know, I think it's interesting, because I talk to different broadcasters, some of them very well known, and I tell them, telling people to find God is not the way to say it. Telling them to repent of their sins and come to Jesus Christ and basically ask him to become Lord of their lives and surrender their self-will and take up their cross and follow Jesus. That's the way of the cross. But unfortunately, the cross nowadays has been minimalized, and even that which claims to be Christianity has absolutely backed away from lifting up Jesus. You can talk about anything you want, but boy, you name the name of Jesus, and it's like the world shuts down. And I think it's imperative that people understand this. It's going to worsen. It's, for instance, there was I think the House of Representatives voted today. And if you can correct me if you want, but Marjorie Taylor Greene voted against the article or the law that you can't even quote the New Testament, where Herod, Jesus is delivered to Herod, and the New Testament says, you know, and handed over to the Jews. That's considered anti-Semitic. And I think this whole issue has to be addressed, because now we're watching. We're watching the fulfillment of Scripture. We're watching the amazing revelations of Scripture. But it's not just in concerning the nation of Israel. It's all of the prophetic utterances that will envelop the whole world, because the world must be brought into a state of total chaos for the man of peace, i.e. the Antichrist, who takes the place of Jesus Christ, to come on the scene. And they do need a global war. They, the globalists, they, the Luciferian elite. And isn't it amazing how blood is involved in almost everything they do? How many people will die innocently in the United States, believing that we had, the United States military, had an effective defense against incoming hypersonic missiles, no matter who they come from? North Korea has hypersonic missiles. People are about ready to have their whole fantasy illusion concerning Iran's nuclear capability shattered. We're watching everywhere we're watching war, more war. And I'm sad to say that Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. But how many people professing Jesus say it's wrong for collateral damage, for little kids to be blown up? It's wrong for innocent men, women, and children to be blown up and to be targeted. And it's going to happen in this country, Doug. I look out when I go, you know, drive here, drive there, you know, and I see all the different people, different families. And surely, I pray, I do, when I see a father, a mother, their kids, I pray for them that God will deliver them. I pray right on the spot, you know, sometimes audibly, sometimes under my breath. But the point is that I don't think there's any reality embracing in those who claim to be the followers of Jesus Christ. I just don't see it. Now, granted, I live in Bozeman, Montana, but I interface and have, you know, what would you say, conversations with people all over the world, because I've been at this thing, talk radio, podcasting, since that was possible, you know, and you don't do that for 35 years and then 5 years as a guest on different shows without knowing and meeting some amazing people. But again, I'm glad there's a younger generation coming up and drawing attention to these things, but you cannot change when something is destroyed. Like, for instance, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? When the wicked rule, the righteous mourn. I don't know that anybody can honestly say they're better off because economic policies, excuse me, of this administration have destroyed and keep on destroying. When families come under financial duress, it destroys relationship, it destroys marriages, it destroys men's self-worth, it destroys the continuity and the cohesiveness of the family. And I'm talking a biologically correct, genetically created biological family. And so again, why is it that everything that was right and that was a blessing and a foundation for the blessing on our nation has been taken away and there's no cause and effect? Does that not concern you sometimes or cause you alarm? Because where's the disconnect? Where is the disconnect?
You know, yes, on a smaller level as well as the larger level. You speak of families, you speak of like internal circles. Yes. The entire thing is very disconcerting. And then you also mentioned churches. And I think this is displayed or exemplified by a couple of churches in the area impacted by Helene appear to be, Steve, this is just my observation, appear to be praying their congregation directly into FEMA camps and away from God. That's just me from what I've seen. But they've subjugated themselves to FEMA. Yes, but to answer your question, yes, and just to mention the prior point, the lethal force directive by the U.S. military 5240.01 section 33 or 3.3A2C. That was a mouthful. This is not coincidental. You can't take that away from the FEMA camps and away from the degradation that you're speaking of now, in my view. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, when people go into FEMA camps and when they're picked up under the clergy response teams, what you're saying is that basically the specific, there are cases, can't make the blanket statement, but there are cases of people believing generally that they're helping their congregants or the members of their church family by telling them to go to the FEMA camps. I just put out a special briefing tonight. It's only by subscription. You'll get yours. You may already have it, Doug. But it's forget the idea of FEMA camps ever being designed to help people. They're execution centers. When Jesse Ventura, and this was 17 years ago, I guess, and Alex did their expose on the FEMA camps and all of the coffin liners and interviewed, you know, the prison nice lady that was basically being handled by her, you know, bald. This is a literal scene in their documentary. It is exasperating to me to know how many people have borne witness to that, that there really are FEMA camps, going back to the clergy response team, that it, when families are split up, and I hate to say this, but the gist of it is that you'll never see your wife again, you'll never see your children again. And how about the big story that came out that, you know, the trafficking, human trafficking of children being funded by the U.S. government? You know, again, ladies and gentlemen, we live in an illusion. And when illusions, how should I say, get shattered, people lose it. I love what Gerald Celente say when and I may not be saying it exactly word for word, but when people have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And so I think we are a lost nation when the BRICS nations get together. And again, Doug, you can't believe, well, you can, because, you know, we talk every day or pretty close to every day, and we've done so many shows together, but you can't believe the false accusations when we started, the entire private briefing team started talking and posting our newsletter, subscription newsletter, about just how nefarious the plans are. And people wouldn't recognize that the death of the dollar, we contributed to it. We are in favor of it. And central bank digital currency, no one's going to accept that outside of the country. We're so broke and we're adding trillions of dollars. I think we're due to add $1 trillion next month, a month. So in essence, the whole world looks on us and they wonder what's happened. Because look at where America was, look at where we are, and look at what we are now. And if you look in a mirror, and it's like the, let's just say this, you still see yourself as 20 until you start seeing wrinkles or gray or, you know, whatever is changing quickly. But if you just keep, you know, what I call this, humming the lullaby of madness. The lullaby of madness is repeating the lies and putting a little music to it and thinking that somehow the world you gave up, the world you wouldn't fight for, the world of freedom, the world of faith, the world of liberty, of honesty, integrity, it no longer exists. And when people say, oh, you're such a fearmonger, let me just tell you, and I've said this so many times, fearmonger was a term set up by the CIA to discredit all truth tellers. Fear porn, same thing. And for the record, it's called neuro-linguistic programming. It was an offshoot of or a result of MKUltra. And most people who continually watch network news are being programmed at a level they're not even aware of. They may be doing something else,
I just want to say we were talking about that last night. Let me ask you this sincerely. Do you feel, for example, when CNN is on in airports and in various locations and they're just on all the time and people working there and people who are there for whatever reason for lengths of time, are they being programmed in a way that they're not aware of?
Yes, continually, night and day. They're not aware of all the technology of infrasonics. They're not aware of the different methods of mind control. Remember, you can look up MKUltra and look at the whole history and the story of it. But yeah, they're being programmed. And even the electronic 5G, OG, and it's going to get really crappy G, I'm talking about wireless technology. There are so many scientific studies done that show what that does to brainwave function. You know, everybody used to laugh and say, you need to wear a tinfoil hat. Well, actually, you need to wear a hat if you're going to be out in the areas of those, the intensity. And I think most people who want to prove this, they can go on eBay and they can buy an electromagnetic meter that will measure it. And when you see the needle pegging and you go to your router in your house and you go just walk around anything, if you can get a 5G signal, you can get your meter to show you the strength of that signal that has effect. Electromagnetic radiation has an effect on all living organisms. And some of the people that criticize you and I would say this, even the undead organizes organ, even the undead mouth organs. That's what I'm trying to say. In other words, the zombies and the zombie protocol, which is a real thing. Hence, it centers around biological agents in being introduced into a human body and then being articulated or attenuated or initiated by a signal, specific signals. And some of the transmission frequencies have not been turned on yet because specific levels of electromagnetic radiation can put you to sleep or they can agitate you. And right now, I think we're in the agitation phase, but it's going to get very problematic. Because again, going back to James Carville, this is a Democratic strategist openly saying they need to pick up arms and basically fight to the death to keep Trump from becoming president again. The call for his death, I don't even like, I don't like a lot of the demon rats, but I'm not going out and calling for their death. I think the thing is that we've allowed the narrative to be stolen, okay? The narrative to be stolen was, again, Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. It was interesting to me, two things, Doug, and I want your opinion on this, that during the presidency of Donald Trump, he never brought up George Soros once that I know of. That's the first
thing. I don't recall him ever. Now, in the campaign, in the 2016 campaign, 2015, 2016. He said, you know, lock up Hillary. But Soros, I never heard him mention Soros publicly.
Well, and so I came up with the term, obviously, Soros-cited, okay? S-O-R-O-S or S-O-R-O-C-I-D-E-D. In other words, a nation suicided by Soros. And you know, he did something incredibly smart. He took Obama's operational plan for community organizers, but he also supported financially and with the full weight of his billions, local prosecutors, and everything that you're looking at and seeing, every abrogation of law, when we become lawless, that's a mystery of iniquity, goes back to those community prosecutors. Look at all the prosecutors that have tried to charge Trump with stuff that's just in let's say this, it was manufactured and people don't get it. This isn't a political statement. This is what they're going to do to everyone. And I want to point this out, Doug. You 2 years ago, and correct me on the time, you're better at time than I am, remembering specific times, but you said lawfare. You were the one saying lawfare would be the new warfare, and they would absolutely start using it to, in their mind, silence their enemy. And their enemy is truth. I want everybody to know this. There is no truth. I cannot tell you. Look at the reaction. The press, they'll hold any conservative, and this is a Republican and Democratic statement, they'll conserve anything that's traditional, that's a better way, constitutional, anything that has a moral basis, they will attack that. But when somebody openly lies and is caught in lie after lie, telling the same lie and repeating it over and over, and there's no challenge to it, then I'm telling you this, the number one initiator of the destruction of the United States has been the mainstream media under the intelligence agency's control.
Well stated.
That's the mass media. And with the mass media came the mass murdering of human thinking and reasoning, in my opinion.
Okay. And I just want to address the lawfare comment. I can tell you this. I recall specifically when I first broached that subject, it was the spring of 2015. And of course, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get into, obviously, our experiences individually and collectively, but boy, did that come to pass. And that was somewhat consistent with that phrase, fake news. And of course, you speak the truth, that becomes fake news to the narrative. And I'm telling you right now, that's what's happening. But they've, I don't know how they, the demonic communist element within our nation, actually weaponized fake news. I mean, it's and weaponize. How can you weaponize a weapon? How can you weaponize lawfare? But they did, and they weaponized fake news. And they're going after the truth tellers like you, which, by the way, folks, is why you should follow Steve Quayle on X to get the latest, as well as private briefings and such, the his intelligence products. I'm telling you, you need to know this ahead of time, because Steve is light years ahead of everyone else, in my view. So follow him on X, as well as make sure you sign up for his intellectual products, because intelligence products, I'll say, because they are right on target. Go ahead, sir.
Well, first of all, I'm not a fan of social media. I was never on Faces of Death book. I'm the one that came up with the title for Faces of Death book. And I went on X because of the people that were on there. And I post stuff because, number one, my daughter said, you need to get on X, Dad. And I've been such a holdout on it. And what I'm using that opportunity is because it sounds to me, Doug, and you would know more about this, but that platform, at least when Elon Musk bought it and opened it up, it gave people a more, I would say, this balanced view of reality. And look at now how the left hates Musk and has it basically declared him to be public enemy number two. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you start vilifying people. And when I started on talk radio 35 years ago, I told everyone the formula that, that the Lord had given to me, Jesus Christ, that's the Lord I'm talking about, is that IVND, India, Victor, November, December, or Delta. And the thing was identify, vilify, nullify, destroy. Look at how the press over time has done everything they can to nullify and ultimately destroy President Trump or Steve Bannon. And let's look at lawfare and Steve Bannon. To my knowledge, Doug, has he been released yet from his prison sentence?
As a matter of fact, the government, the weaponized Merrick Garland piece of crap, Merrick Garland, the Biden-Harris regime, denied him, as well as the prison system itself, FCI Danbury. I know of that. But no, they denied him the First Step Act, which is it's illegal. Well, the whole thing is unconstitutional, but that's not legal. And second of all, he's now has to stay until October 29th before he can be released. And that's deliberate because,
yes,
obviously he's a big voice. Like you, he's a big voice out there, different realm, but nonetheless effective. And they can't afford to look. They can't afford to have him out. Go ahead.
When they will not play by the rules. And in essence, I forget, I'm sorry, the sun is setting and pretty soon my camera's auto diaphragm. I'm looking to the south and the sun is setting right now. That's why my face is in shadow. But the point is that we're now watching, again, all measures of sanity as it relates to truth, absolutely attacked. And I want to tell everybody this. There is only one origin of truth, and his name is Jesus. He is the truth. The truth is not a concept of a fact versus a lie. The truth is a person of Jesus, and the foundation of the universe is based on truth. But truth has to be destroyed because truth shines out the darkness every place. You can go into a pack of liars, i.e. Congress and the Senate, any given day, and the people who will tell the truth will actually be minimalized and silenced, or, basically denigrated. And if you're like Ron Paul, I think one of the distinctions Ron Paul had is he was never invited to any White House functions. It was something like that. But we're watching, Doug, a captive nation that's going to be turned into the killing fields. I am tired of the BS. And I want to take on this F-16 issue. And the F-16, I'm going to fiddle with my drapes here. I'm at home, obviously, in my laptop.
Well, as you're doing that, Steve, let me just cut to the last break here just for a moment. And I want to thank again our people who support us. Thank you. Thank you kindly. And we do support a lot of causes, including the people who are affected by Hurricane Helene. But I just want to tell you about Chuck Norris, of course. You've heard me talk about him before. Folks, go to chuckdefense.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. If you've ever wondered what happened to Chuck Norris, well, he is absolutely buff. I mean, he's I was surprised by him when I first saw the video. He's in his 80s and he can run circles around most people. He's stronger. He can work out longer, and he even has plenty of energy left over for his grandkids. Now, he did this by making just one change. He says he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this one thing too, and she never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger. Her body looks leaner and has energy all day. Now, he made a special video that explains everything. Make sure you watch it by going to chuckdefense.com/Hagman, two N's on Hagman, or by clicking in the link below in this video. You'll see it down there. It'll change the way you think about your health. Once again, that's chuckdefense.com/Hagman, and click on the link in the description box below to watch the video. Now, you're just not going to believe how simple it is. chuckdefense.com/Hagman, two N's on Hagman, and we appreciate them for sponsoring us. And Steve, we appreciate you as well. And again, my guest part of the program, actually the reason I'm here, is Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, Gen 6, obviously, and Renaissance Precious Metals. Make sure, folks, if you're a serious investor, hey, they're talking about gold going over 3,000. They're talking about silver rising regardless of the election. And I'm telling you, it would be a great investment. And he is the only one I would trust if I were a serious investor into precious metals. So do that. That's Renaissance Precious Metals. And I guarantee you a flawless, seamless, and pleasant experience with Renaissance Precious Metals. All right, Steve. You got your drapes adjusted now, or you okay?
Yeah, I'm back and I've got a little more light.
There you go. Yeah, let there be light.
Well, and if the nation would have repented, personal repentance can still be done. Anybody, there'll be plenty of people calling upon the name of the Lord, especially when, and I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about anybody else who would try and claim lordship. But the point I think that's critical for everyone to understand now, what would, Doug, we come to this point of what happens when everything that, and for instance, I'll talk about all the years and all the programming I've done, been interviewed, all those things are coming to pass. And at some point, the light finally goes on, you know? And when the light goes on, the people are, first, they're astonished, and it's kind of that moment. There's kind of like a instantaneous honeymoon moment where you think, wow, why didn't I see that? But then there's the other moment when you understand that the ramifications of denial will absolutely overwhelm all of the arguments for denial. That's a fancy way of saying it. If you doubt that there's going to be food and water, or you said, oh, well, there'll always be food and water, and you start getting a bill from the globalists saying, Doug, you're allowed 8,000 liters of oxygen a day and 2 gallons of water a day, and for that you have to pay. See, these people are commoditizing everything that God gave us, and they're substituting the rule and reign of Antichrist, who I believe is on the scene. I also believe that the biblical two witnesses are on the scene, just not made known yet, you know, where their location is. And I believe that when I did a show with you, was it a year and a half ago, when I said three times the Lord spoke to me and said, tell my people peace has been taken from the earth. Maybe that was closer to 2 years ago. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Sadly, I don't remember the timing. I would say probably closer to 2 years ago.
Yep. Well, the reason I'm saying that is because look at where we're at now. And ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter if you, I don't think we're at World War III. It doesn't matter. The governments think we're at World War III. There are emergency action messages going down. You've got flights and the flight trackers, the ones you can, military planes going to Europe. You've got radiation counts on Radmon, Radmon dot com that, or yeah, Radmon.com, I think, which is all the different people that measure background radiation. And some of these radiation background counts in the counts per minute are, they're just absolutely unshielded nuclear weapons being shipped out of their storage containers, and there's no secrets anymore. There's no more nuclear secrets. And again, the thing I want to make everybody clear on, the United States strategic defense policy and civil defense is non-existent. We were based, our entire nuclear posture was based on MAD. Oh, that, well, how appropriate. Mutual assured destruction. But it was never mutual assured destruction because even the concept of nuclear war, there's not 100% total fission in atom bombs or 100% total fusion in hydrogen bombs. But there was no sheltering for the public. It doesn't matter if it's China, Russia, Iran, the nations that were developing atomic weapons and superior weapons were building shelters for their people. The Russians, I want to make something clear. When America went along with the stealing of $300 billion of Russian assets, I knew it was over forever for this country. Why? Because not only were we telling, we're being told, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, okay? Thou shalt not covet. When you've got jealousy and envy and you've got greed, and I would say this, the kingdom of hell, little K, capital H, they function on envy and they function on, they want to be the top, fallen angel in fallen angel land. I'm not kidding when I use those terms, or the big hairy chief demon, okay? So what's interesting is now we have a loss of national identity. We do. What do you call us? Homogenized, whatever. We're no longer homogenous. We are a dispartite nation, and the disunited states is by design. And again, we are a divided house. We're not going to stand. That's not being negative, it's being pragmatic. People said, are you a Republican, Democrat? I said, neither. I'm a human racist and I'm pragmatic. I believe in the human race as created by the living God. I'm opposed to the genetic manipulation of the human genome, going right back to the Genesis 6 narrative. From the beginning, the devil has tried to destroy the seed of Adam and Eve. Jesus comes along and becomes a second Adam. And through faith, we no longer have to be in that genetic morass of having original sin. God can redeem us, and he causes us and calls us to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. Let's take a basic fact of superpositioning in quantum physics, okay? We have people that obviously are in that realm watching this program. Superpositioning, and how can it be that the Word of God, the Holy Bible, says we're seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly places? Well, Doug, you're in Erie, Pennsylvania, and I'm in Bozeman, Montana, and it doesn't feel heavenly in these places sometimes, but we can occupy a different realm, and in this case, we are in Jesus. There's another wonderful not proverb, but a promise in the Word of God says, "In Him, God, we live and move and have our being." And when they talk about the body of Christ, this is something that's so phenomenally and miraculously God-sent and God-driven. And I think that people need to get away from the word good. There is no such thing as a good human. There are only redeemed humans because people say, oh, he's a good man. He's a good this. He's a good that. Because God condemned the whole world because of original sin. And in that condemnation, made a way for redemption through Jesus Christ. And, Yeah, I'm grateful that I'm a To quote my critics, I am grateful to be a Jesus freak. I'm grateful that the Lord Jesus Christ would save me out of the gutter to his uttermost, the guttermost to the uttermost, and that I can talk to people, and you talk to people, we talk to people, Doug, around the world in some of the most obscure places that I can't even believe how they can hear us. You know, they have portable satellite dishes uplinked. They have some amazing technology. But there are some people in the outback of Australia, good day, mates, that basically wait for shows that are recorded to be sent to them on whatever those long trains are, or, you know, through airmail. And I mean, there's some guys that have solar powered old cassette players, you know, and it's very interesting that they want to know what's going on that bad. And you know, that badly. And you remember probably, I don't know if he's still around, Kid Yahweh, if you're listening, let me know if you're still there. You know, I mean, the thing is that it's one gentleman that has been a blessing, generous to Doug, generous to myself and to Alex Jones. And I think I remember somebody called me from Alex Show and said, is this guy legit? I said, he's legit. He's one of the most giving and he's kind, but you know, he's like an outback guy, you know? And listen, we touch people all over the world. And so God says to the people that are too busy for him in the West, of course, they're too busy, you know, having their satanic child sacrifices. And when I mock that, it is with no glee. I hate it with all my essence, with all my being, with all my fiber, that there are monsters out there, literally in human form. And I'm convinced that some of the leading politicos, especially women who are, you know, the movers and shakers, I do not believe they're human. I believe they've been given over and they become, in essence, like Legion, the gathering demoniac. And there is something otherworldly and other evil, I mean, evil otherworldly, that possesses them and controls them. So there are people that are hungry for the truth. And then there are people that do everything in their power, especially in Western Europe and Britain and the United States. There's not an ounce of truth in them when they get together and agree on the lie. There's just no truth in them.
You know, I so agree with you on this. And even the people out there who perhaps can't wrap their mind around what you just said, although I wouldn't know why. I mean, if you look at, for example, that now infamous rally done by, again, the communist cackles McKneepads, when she told the two young students that, hey, you're at the wrong rally, when they mentioned Jesus is Lord and Christ is King, and kicked them out and made those flippant comments. And of course, that should have been a campaign ending in a normal society, normal functioning Western society. That should have been the campaign ending soundbite. I believe that. But yet it was applauded by the people there, and it was applauded by people on the left. And so to your point, I agree that the devil, demonic, Steve, it's infested in our culture, in our society, and most assuredly in the people. And you're absolutely 100% correct. But this is what we're fighting. It's not about party now. This is about good versus evil. Well, I mean, the followers of Jesus versus the demonic, in my view. Go ahead, sir.
Well, one of the things about prophecy, biblical prophecy, is the book of Daniel. And the prophet Daniel stood out under the reign of three different kings because of his walk with the living God. And again, Daniel was the only one that could tell Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And even Daniel's influence, Nebuchadnezzar, with Daniel's influence telling him the dream and what it meant, he became so filled with pride. And, you know the story. God turned his heart into a beast, and he literally ate grass in his, I mean, pretty interesting story if you think of the metabolic changes that had to take place in Nebuchadnezzar. And we talk about the handwriting on the wall. How many times have I said, Lord, I don't even think people see there's a wall. And if you wrote it in your fingertip of God in the sky, I'm not mocking God. I said they'd try to instantly cover it up with chemtrails rather than realize, hey, this is something that we, the destroyers of the earth, and by the way, there is the scripture in Revelation, God will destroy those who destroy the earth. And this entire weather modification, I'm segueing now into that, Dane Wigington, geoengineering watch.org. Dane has done a hallmark job of explaining the chemical processes, the electrochemical processes that are taking place, Doug. And what's astonishing to me is with all the evidence, it's like patents. I think, I don't know, there are 200 and some patents. The first patent that ever came out with weather geoengineering was called the Eastland patent, 4686605. And when I wrote the book Weather Wars, I think that was written 20, I don't know how many years ago, 20, 25 years ago. It was, the title was Weather Wars and Unnatural Disasters. Even in 1962, Lyndon Baines Johnson was talking about, we now have the power to control the weather. And he who controls the weather controls the world. You've seen that, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And so, excuse me, the importance of understanding the technology, what have we become? We've become technophiliacs, okay? There's another word for you. And in essence, people don't understand that mankind was given dominion, and now humanity that was given such a marvelous manifestation of the infinite wisdom of Almighty God, the infinite knowledge of Almighty God, the, if you will, the intuitive nature of mankind. I mean, I read an article one time, how smart was Adam? Well, to name every animal and to know inherently by his nature, I tell people, Adam was so connected with the living God that his thoughts, the living God's thoughts, it was a wonderful exchange between the two. The Creator, Almighty God, the created Adam. And just that interchange is explosively wonderful, okay? And so everybody wants to, and the replacement humanity group, you know, obviously doing away with human beings, that is going to be those who are clapping at their own demise, like a bunch of circus seals, okay? If anybody's ever been to Marineland or Marine World or whatever, or a circus where they see the trained circus animals, you know, the idea that I think people, God gave people the ability to rationally and for rational thought, original thought, and to be able to share and understand conceptual thoughts and to be able to communicate. And right now, all communications are aimed against God. The mouthpieces of technology want to be God. Zoltan Isfahan, that's a very famous man who's scientist on singularity, man and machine becoming one, says at the heart of every, this is his quote, at the heart of every transhumanist is the desire for eternal life. Well, the same promise of deception that the serpent in the garden used to sway Eve and ultimately trap Adam was that they should be as gods, knowing good and evil, and they should not surely die. And that's the promise of transhumanism. When you read Ray Kurzweil's, it was a triumphant work, and all of the smartest guys in the world writing on this. And I remember the Bill Joy piece. Bill Joy, and I think it's why the future doesn't need us anymore. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I are becoming humanus extincticus, human extinction. So when I did a show with Mike Adams today on age, AGE, and that basically stands for annihilation, genocide, and extinction. And isn't it interesting, we're at the end of the age. Now, not everybody believes that. There are people who believe there's going to be a glorious future under Lucifer, and all the biggest liar known to exist in all creation is promising them something that evidently he couldn't even appropriate for his life. Why does he have to live in the shadows? Why does he have to kill? Because the, and here's the root of good and evil, because there was war in heaven. And yes, there's a real heaven. And the devil and a third of his angels fought against the living God and two thirds of the angels in heaven. And the one third were cast out. And they have come out of what would you say? In my opinion, God has allowed the gates of hell to open because the evil that is going to be released on earth, and it's going to be unleashed on mankind, is unfathomable. Therefore, giving credence and popularity, and I would say this, proof, the words of Jesus, that if God the Father didn't shorten the days for the elect's sake, there'd be no flesh left alive. And Doug, there's nothing more that I know to say to warn people, because all the warnings are in play. Somebody said, you know, I forget who called me today and said, how does it feel, Steve, to know that you said all this stuff so long ago? And I said, here's how it feels. It literally breaks my heart, because not only did I see the things that, you know, God showed me, and I think it's lived out in all the stuff I've written and stuff, and the time. See, this is my problem with a lot of the prophetesses on, YouTube. And they're headline people. They where were they 10 years ago? Now, this doesn't apply to all of them. But what's interesting to me is that when did somebody say something that the Lord told them, and when did it come to pass, you know? And so what, and I'm not a prophet, for the record, never claimed to be, never have made that claim in my life. But I will tell you the basis of scripture, that anybody who testifies of Jesus and has the testimony of Jesus, yet that is the spirit of prophecy. It's not the office of a prophet. And I think that what we're watching is basically a lukewarm, suicidal church that has no basis of understanding of the foundations of the Word of God. And if there's people that are interesting in establishing a foundational understanding, I couldn't recommend Derek Prince Ministries, DerekPrince.org, better. There's nobody I knew. In my estimation, a scholar, biblical scholar, has to be able to read and write Hebrew, read and write Greek, and read and write Latin. And those of you who know or knew Derek Prince, and I was blessed to have, I actually met him. We weren't good buddies, but I had him pray for me three different times in three different areas. And that man walked in an understanding of the Word of God. Now, he didn't have it all at his time, because God places certain truths in the context of time. In other words, that there would be no understanding of the Lord revealing something that there's the, how do I say this? They have no conceptual ability to understand something, but that there's a certain time where that concept changes. And quite candidly, one of the things that has been used to brainwash people, science fiction movies, has also been reversed, and God turned it against them to inform his people. I mean, you know, you can run through movie after movie. I mean, you can go to Fritz Lang's black and white film, Metropolis, and you'll see robots there. And what's interesting, the robot in Fritz Lang, Metropolis, I have a degree in film. I have 2 degrees in film and television, and one of them, the history of film, is really a big deal. But Fritz Lang had a movie called Metropolis, and it showed monorails. But the interesting thing was a robot, a female robot, kind of C-3PO's long-lost future love. And, I mean, that was kind of the robotic figure. But she's under a pentagram, okay? Interesting. And that launched, if you will, the genre, in my opinion, of science fiction, because there were attempts at robot films or filmettes, just little snips. But if you look at the development of robots all through the science fiction, and now where we're at, we're in the age of robots right now, are we not? And I can see, no. I can see, because of, you know, look, I'm not saying everybody should go get a degree in film history, but you see little smidgens of specific things. I've had people say, yeah, I saw that on Star Trek 20 years ago. And I said, yes, you did. And it might surprise you that Gene Roddenberry was a CIA agent, you know? And again, there's something interesting that goes on. And I don't think people know this, Doug, but nothing got released out of Hollywood that doesn't clear the CIA or the intelligence agency censors. You knew that. And so when we went to the shows like The Outer Limits, the series, or Rod Sterling's The Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone, yep,
yeah,
yep.
You know, I mean, so far ahead of a sound. But I'll tell you what, The Outer Limits was ahead of The Twilight Zone. It was levels of magnitude higher in a intellectual way and also in a futuristic way. That's my opinion. But then if you see the presence of robots, whether it's with Robbie the Robot, Forbidden Planet, Walter Pigeon, and Connie Francis, that was the first time there was a humanoid robot that said, "My name is Robbie." And the thing that is interesting about that, just a little aside, but it's kind of cool, is the fact that then it evolved into the different robots, Lost in Space, warning. And then it goes into the, if you will, the more technologically advanced robots. And then you go back to Greek mythology and you find out that there was a mythological robot in Greek mythology that was created by Hephaestus, and you know it's the one that was appeared in Jason the Argonauts, Telos, T-E-L-O-S. And so isn't it interesting that, you know, what was that, 400 BC or something? So the idea of an artificial life form having life given to it and basically protecting humans or destroying humans. And look, I followed the AI thing, our forbidden, the forbidden information that we placed into our glyph project, the mega glyph event. People can watch it. It's been recorded. You were in it, Doug. I was in it. Thank you, Eric, again for your marvelous job of putting it together. And where the glyph project became important is because of the pride, the singular defining moment in all of heaven's rebellion was the pride of Lucifer. And that pride was reproduced in the fallen angels that are named in the Book of Enoch or in the Book of Giants. Those are what are called pseudepigraphal works, and they were in the Old Testament. And then certain people got nervous about fallen angels having sex with earth women and producing hybrid creatures known as the giants. The greatest cover-up in history is a cover-up of the giants. And in before the flood of Noah, they were 36 feet tall. After that, they literally cut them down in half. It's interesting, as the lifespan of fallen man was shortened, so was the height of the giants. So at the height of their existence, you know, 36 feet was kind of common. And it was fascinating to me that, you know, the Egyptian museum that just opened up, they had one of the statues of Ramses, which is, which is 36 feet tall. You know, it wasn't just 32.3. It was 36 feet tall. And some of the temples in Egypt, like Temple of Karnak, they're so not human sized that the history and mythology of giants is a big deal, especially when you understand that there are scientists creating some of the most virulent, biologically dangerous, pathogenic, hijack genes from these entities. That all I can share with you Doug, and your audience is the fact that what we think and finally come to grips with, these entities are 8 to 10,000 years in the past ahead of us. That's just a funny way of saying that we're going back in antiquity and launching forward into the future. And a lot of this stuff, it just doesn't appear on the screen because mankind just didn't sit down and go, you know what, I'm going to invent spaceships. You know what, I'm going to do this and do that. There's always been the unseen hand leading mankind to ultimately destroy himself and every other human being. And that's why all the techno billionaires, whether they're kings or former kings and princes, they all were expressing their hatred for humanity. And so,
I, if I can, I because I don't want this point to be lost. is what you're saying, and this is for the benefit of those listening and watching this, the technology that we have today evolved or existed and evolved from the giants of yesterday, right?
Yes, and not evolved, a better word was, and I won't tell you how we've done it because I don't want people getting trapped in this. We've been very careful to keep everybody's eyes on Jesus. But we can tell you point blank that some of the glyphs that were pre-Adamic, they existed. In other words, signs, symbols, and different rock carvings and megalithic structures that were not seen after the flood of Noah, but they existed before because of erosion and, you know, atomic decay and all this stuff. But the point that's interesting is, you know what it, what was the overwhelming consensus of the eight different people that were on the team, the glyph team, and we had four of them in addition to a science guy, was the fact of the overwhelming desire to destroy man from a genetic level. So when Jesse's in Mexico digging up pyramids,
yeah, I don't mean to overtalk you, but I think a lot of people have come to that realization, especially in the post-COVID era, when you look back, and I think RF, to put this in modern terms, and you can correct me, but in my opinion, I think RFK Jr., who I disagree with on a lot of things, but I agree with him on the health aspect of what's going on. But I think he has an inkling of the depth of the demonic related to the slab jabs, for example. And now I think his knowledge is expanding into other aspects. I could be wrong, but that's kind of the way I see it. And I think he serves as a buffer to bring this into the present for Donald Trump at this moment in time to both expose and to mitigate the very destruction of humanity that you're talking about. Maybe that's too optimistic, but that's kind of what I'm seeing. Any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah. First of all, kudos to Robert Kennedy, okay? The bottom line is what he's doing with his Children's Defense Health Network, or I think I've got it right. But what he's bringing attention to is, look, this is mass murder on a scale that's unimaginable. And when a nation won't protect its the most helpless, innocent little humans, there is from that point on, it's the end of humanity. Let's take the COVID-19 shot. I'll quote one more time, Shen Ping. It's on my website, stevequayle.com. And you've got to read that. This is a member of the Chinese Communist Party saying, with our bioweapon, we destroyed the United States. Look at everything, Doug, that's happening after the COVID-19. First of all, China got everybody's DNA that ever had a nasal swab with a nasal swab, and then they got all the prime athletes of the Olympics. They were swabbing those guys multiple times a day, and what they've got is the largest genetic library in the world. Nobody's got a bigger one, and they have billions with a B, samples from different people. They've got the greatest athletes in the world, their genetic makeup. And so I remember the trouble. And boy, did I get in a lot of trouble, you know, drew a lot of attention that I probably shouldn't have. But when you tell the truth, a lot of people that live in the wonderland of lies. But there was a gentleman named Wouter Basson in South Africa. He was designing gene-specific bioweapons. As a matter of fact, my film partner, you know, in the elephant movie we did, Peter from South Africa, I mean, he and Wouter Basson were in the same unit in the SADF, South African Defense Force, and he said he was a friend of mine, Steve, and I should have followed up with it because I'd love to interview him. Not just because he came up with this, but just so you know, Doug, when I said it's moving from genotypes, groups, to individual specific genetic makeup, that it being weaponized, at first people thought, oh, that can never happen. You're crazy. You're a fearmonger. You're pushing fear porn. And I want you to know that they are now capable, the Chinese. I do not believe the United States has the gene bank data that they have. And by the way, China has surpassed the United States in their supercomputers, okay? They're levels of magnitude above the U.S. In essence, we can't play catch-up. We can't even build a good burger anymore because it's all synthetic meat. Ketchup, you know, mustard, attempt at late night humor. But the point is that we're now in the position in the United States of having a true bioweaponized, genetically targeted group of weapons that can be basically, if they know who's in a group, Doug, let's say it's you and I, and I pray that, I really do, I wish, and I can't wish Russ back out of heaven, but let's say it was you and I and Russ and Greg Evenson and Hawk and others, and they had all our DNA, man, they could let something loose on us that would just take us out, but it wouldn't take anybody else out. Am I being clear on how specific the biogenesis of genetic and weaponized gene manipulation is? Am I being clear?
100%. I get it. And if I get it, I'm sure most people get it, if not everyone else. And it made me think, but it made me think of that. Forgive me for bringing up the political sphere again, but it made me think of that time, that rally where some type of substance was released. I can't remember where or when it was. It was a few weeks, maybe a month ago. And some people complained of eyes and stuff. Others didn't, that were right there, including President Trump. So, maybe that has nothing to do with any of this, but it would serve as a kind of an example of what you're talking about, where it's very specific to certain people while others just walk away. And, I'm convinced. Look, with Russ, nothing made sense with that. Okay, and his wife, nothing made sense in my view of his death. But I'll leave it there. Go ahead.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, I used to have some very, very smart employees. I'm talking 20 years ago, guys that were retired Cold War warriors that worked for the Puzzle Palace, the NSA. I was blessed. I had a real simple philosophy. Hire people who are older and smarter than you. Shut up. I'm talking about me, Steve, and listen and learn. And I learned a lot about the field work during the Cold War in Berlin. I was given an education behind the scenes. And why I'm bringing that up is because simple, and Doug, we've talked about this. The evidence that what I'm saying is true tonight is overwhelming. It's sometimes, though, the little pieces of the puzzle, a hair piece in the rug in case of a homicide, a single splat of blood in your bloodstain analysis, all those things add up. But when people just dismiss out of ignorance, there's three things I think that are working right now in America to destroy this country from within. Ignorance, jealousy, and envy. Ignorance, jealousy, and envy.
Isn't that always the case, though? I mean, huh? It's really always been the case.
It's always been the case, but
we've seen
in
that
in history. And deny it in the present, okay?
Yeah.
Deny it in the present. And look at, look at all the things that the Abomination of Desolation stated. America is no longer a Christian nation. That was true. That's one statement he made is true. America is the greatest nation in the world. And we, notice the we, intend to change all that. Notice everything that has happened in this country because of that entity's presidency. And now he's back on the stage, under the tutelage of Eminem. By the way, I know nothing about rap. I hate it. But I saw him in a news clip you know, doing rap or something, and everybody's getting such a charge out of it. You know, I'm astonished. And what is so perplexing to me is that if you're a evil man, but you make people smile, well, that evil's cool because I'm being entertained. And if you take the whole, if you will, Hollywood or mockery land, all the late night talk show hosts, they all are of the same cloth. They think anybody who talks like I'm talking, you're talking, we bring up anything that's not the official playbook of the intelligence agencies, that, you know, we're kooks. And so what they do is they marginalize people. Again, that's Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. I think that everyone should learn the 13 rules and then apply them, because you're seeing them every single day. You've seen the destruction of President Trump based on the 13th rule. That's attack a subject, keep attacking them, keep attacking them. When your lie is proven to be a lie, give a bigger lie and tell it more often. It's, again, the neuro-linguistic programming is a fancy term for the hypnotic or the subconscious control of the mind by the repetitious sounds or the repetitious words, and defining the words as you're using ridicule, mockery, or cynicism to put the word into a context for people to equate that word with cynicism or whatever else the context. But in essence, belittle it. It could be the biggest truth in the world, but mock it, scorn it, ridicule it. And we're watching that happen to Jesus. And I'm telling you what, as somebody who understands the difference between the anger of God and the anger of man, not working the righteousness of God, the thing is, I'm appalled at how few of people, especially pastors, do not have the cojones to stand up and literally speak out against the slander of the living God. It's one of my chief complaints in life. Look, I'm 73. I don't know how many more years I got to try and drive home that point, Doug. But in essence, we're watching the denigration. Once the vilification and nullification of Christians, nullification means that we'll be made non-people, then the destruction comes, and there'll probably be a rock concert in one of the many giant coliseums, as, you know, the Christians are slaughtered in the coliseums. By the way, I said that years and years ago. And then what does FEMA do last week? They announced four or five coliseums that are going to be, oh, you're going to love it, emergency rescue centers. Did you see that story?
I missed that. Sorry.
Yeah.
But
well, it's okay.
Say what?
I said this mockingly years ago, and it was a mock. And I mean, I believed it, but I said, the day will come when the coliseums will be the sports stadiums. They'll have a center stage with a rock band, and they'll be killing Christians in cold blood, and everybody will be screaming, and they'll be clapping the song, and, you know, one more dead Christian. You know, I mean, this is the hatred. This is the vehement targeting of the very God who saved us. And I got to tell you something. This is something where, you know, I don't win friends and influence people. But if we don't tell the truth biblically, if we don't stand up for the innocent, if we don't speak out against injustice, to quote, Bonhoeffer, silence the face of evil is evil itself. That's a brilliant statement. Well, you know, again, we've got we don't have a church triumphant. When I say church, I'm not talking Catholic church. I'm talking, not talking Protestant, but the word church means called out ones or called unto him. I mean, there's no, if you will, there's no standard against the evil. Now, I don't know how God's going to deal with that. I wish he would deal with it. I wish Elijah would come back and seriously and just go, hey, guys, remember the prophets of Baal? Watch. Boom. And they're gone. That's not going to happen. But the point is that we have lost that jealousy of King David when he stood before Goliath. And Goliath was mocking David. But more importantly, Goliath was mocking God. I think that's something that everyone misses when they learn the story of David and Goliath, because David, you know, I mean, look, he's like comes up to Goliath's knee probably, but David was jealous for the Lord of hosts. And notice this, that David had a history of dealing with lions and bears before God turned him loose on the giant Goliath. So I think that's a fascinating, the study of David is a study of basically someone who knew how to worship God. That was his life, you know, guys tending the sheep of his father, but also in being that shepherd and being that man, he was jealous for the Lord of hosts. And Doug, it's time that the men of God don't allow the wokeness of the brokenness of the hour. And see, that's why when I hear toxic masculinity, that term, you know, I have an immediate response for that. I think, oh, great, just another emasculating bleepity bleep bleep bleep. Okay, because in essence, you know, they're taking the manhood away from the men. Somebody asked me, where are the men of God? Somebody asked me, where are the men that are the leaders? Where are the men that are sounding the alarm or the charge? We you know, have been blessed to see the tenacity of Alex Jones. And, you know, we have been blessed. I can't tell you how the jealous haters of Alex said, when I looked at that FEMA and I posted, I want everybody to look at it. You guys, you need to look at it. I don't care if you think that I'm off this or that. You've got to watch it. It's the Jesse Ventura, Alex Jones episode that they wouldn't, they took it off the television because it was conspiracy theory. And again, isn't it interesting, Doug, how everything that was once conspiracy theory has now become conspiracy fact?
Yeah. And you know, Steve, I didn't have a chance to tell you today about this, but just in a very, very, very brief exchange with Alex Jones very recently, the demonic laughter at him by those coming for him to shut him down, the rejoicing by the individuals, but really it's by the intelligence community, backed by the intelligence community, fronted by various groups, specifically one in this instance, where they are attempting to sell off his assets and will do so. To see the glee and the demonic, this is his message, to see the demonic element there is absolutely chilling. But you're 100% correct. You can't have this exposure, this level of exposure. You got to shut it down. And that's what everyone has been saying. Yeah, and by the way, I'm going to plug tomorrow too. I want to thank Patriot Doc for this. Folks, if you don't think that the recent spate of celebrity endorsements, and this is kind of what we're talking about too, for Harris, you see some looking like hostages, but they're endorsing Harris. If you don't think that has anything to do with the ritual sexual abuse by Combs, that P. Diddy Combs, and the FBI in possession of those tapes, man, well, tune in tomorrow. But Steve, you're 100% correct in all of this, and you know, we need to pray for the truth tellers. And folks, I'm going to say this: we need to pray for Steve too, please, especially for Steve, because man, that guy's on the front line, especially with the biblical component to the current events. And I want to thank you publicly for all of that and that what you do. Go ahead.
Well, Doug, thank you so much. But my constitution and bylaws have always been based on a really simple scripture. A man has nothing except you receive it from above. And to whatever, you know, God's given me is imparted in my life. Look, it's not false humility. I'm so grateful that when God redeemed somebody like me that was incorrigible, you know, there's no words to aptly describe my heathendom. And, you know, I go back to the scripture. They who have been forgiven much love Jesus. They love God. And then the most mind-blowing scripture I know, and I'm still working on this one after 50 years, is Jesus. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our King. Colossians says, by him, through him, and in him were all things that created exist. He says, henceforth, I call you no longer servants, but friends. And when, you know, when I got that scripture in my heart, it blew my mind. You know that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus? You know, it is such an astonishing, I mean, what it is, it's a reestablishment of the relationship that God had with Adam before the fall of Adam, before the presence of sin, because God walked with his creation daily in the sweetness of the morning. So I think it's critical that, and thank you for asking people to pray for me. I would say this, if it had not been for the intercessors and it had not been for the actions of some of friends that, you know, I met through podcasts, you know, I wouldn't be here. That's not melodrama. It's just fact. You know, I mean, Doug, you know what it's like to have to look under your car every day. You have to, you know, check. You've got to run certain instruments to make sure there's no transmitters. I mean, you know, it's not I want to be a spy. It's just that the spies want to know everything. And this is what I don't think people get. The outpouring of the total surveillance society ends in death. Okay. We are surveilled on every realm. That's why, you know, I'm graciously blessed that I have the satellite phone store, sat123.com, as a sponsor, darkbags.com. We're seeing that the thieves now are taking garage door clickers, capturing the codes, coming back at night, and opening the garage door and or stealing the car. And most people are asleep. They're not that attentive unless they have insomnia and sleep with, you know, whatever choice of weapon designer, whether it's Samuel Colt or, you know, Mr. Smith, Mr. Wesson, or Mr. Heckler and Mr. Koch. Those are all gun manufacturers, the original names of the guys who started the companies. So what is important is you need to guard your electronic fingerprints because it will cost you your life if you don't. We showed the story of the two guys that got the code from a gentleman who was having his truck stolen, and the front man was literally on the left corner of his truck with an AK-47, looked like an AK-47 pistol. I know it was an AK-47, but pistol or a short barrel rifle, what's called an SBR, covering the owner of the house. And the owner said, I knew if I went out, they would have shot me. Well, his buddy is basically starting the truck, and they're stealing the guy's truck right out of his front yard because they had a piece of technology, probably no bigger than this, that would, you know, enable them to capture the code sequence to get into the car. So, you know, it's important, ladies and gentlemen, especially nowadays, same thing with your garage door clicker. When you click your garage door clicker, it is a transmitter. That transmitter goes to the receiver inside the garage. The receiver opens and closes the garage door. Once they got that, they got the key to your kingdom. And
they do.
Yeah, we've got murderous squatters. So, Doug, yep. Please, everyone, go to darkbags.com or the Escape Zone. You know, it's multiple divisions of the same company, sat123.com. Or thank you, Eric, for putting it up on screen. And this is a necessity, just like how many people will ultimately have perished because they didn't have any power. How many people have perished because they didn't have any water. So the preparedness mindset, and this maybe is a good place for me to quit, the preparedness mindset is life assurance. And I want to tell you, Jesus didn't come and say, well, I just came there, we might die and, you know, get wasted. No, he said, he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And the fact that he calls the Lord Jesus Christ, dying on the cross, being resurrected from the grave, coming back again in the clouds. The fact that he calls the people that he loves and they love him, his friends, that is the most mind-boggling concept that I still, I mean, I'm grateful for it, but if you think that through, that's kind of beyond the realm of, you know, every gear in my brain, every concept in my brain, it's kind of like, you know, tilt on a pinball machine. So in essence, that's how much God loves us. And I encourage everybody, the word finding God is not the accurate statement. Repenting of your sin, asking Jesus to forgive you of your sin, coming in to his kingdom and being baptized in water. There's something cool that happens when you're baptized in water. You go into the water. I'm not talking about child baptism or infant baptism. I'm talking about knowing you're a sinner. You go under the water. You're washed by the blood of the Lamb. You come up and you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. But God doesn't clean his fish all at once. People like me take a long time to clean up. But guess what? God's faithful. And so I'm grateful. And the more you realize God's faithful, the more grateful you'll be, I'll be, and will be. But don't let anybody put down the Lord Jesus Christ in front of you publicly. Stand up, stand up, stand up. Ye soldiers of the cross. You know, and basically, take back your dominion in Jesus' name. Doug, thanks for having me on tonight. Like I said, return to live television or live podcasting.
Well, I'll tell you what, for the amount of time you spent on various shows, including your own today, I can't believe. I mean, you're like Donald Trump, rally number three in a day. It's fantastic, and I appreciate your time with us. And yeah, I urge everyone to pray for Steve, pray for his health, pray for a hedge of protection. And I want to thank you for being really my brother from another mother, I guess. But thank you for your friendship.
And another mother, but same Heavenly Father.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Get some rest.
Thank you. Bye-bye. God bless you, Doug. God bless each and every one of you tonight.
All right, folks. That was Steve Quayle. SteveQuayle.com. I'm going to tell you something. That was more... You know, we could have talked about the various things going on in the Middle East and to a granular level. We could have done that. But, man, that was kind of like a shot, wasn't it? Like a vitamin B shot. I don't know the information there. There was a lot of stuff he said. You might want to go back and re-listen to, especially as it related to the pre-Adamic era and the other issues with respect to the Giants, because that's important. It really is. Now tomorrow night, I got some other things here I want to get into, but tomorrow night we're really going to drill down on what to expect. Again, this comes from a Trump, somebody, an attorney in the Trump orbit. I'm not going to identify anyone, but they are game, they're war planning what to expect, what they believe is going to happen. And I got to say this, it's not going to be pretty. You know how people say, well, there's good news and bad news. Well, there's bad news and then there's less bad news, especially now when you're seeing the desperation of the left, because the left, if they lose power, and it looks like it could happen, even with the cheating, they're going to basically dust everybody. Okay, I say that. They've got plans. They're not giving up easy. If you think for one second, even if this was a landslide, and I don't like talk like that because I just don't. But even if this was a landslide, which I don't believe it's going to be, but even if it was, they've got a plan to keep President Trump out of office. But it's even worse than that. As I posted in the chat, and thank you in the chat for all of each and every one of you. As Steve was talking, I was looking at the various people who were making comments, and I want to thank you. You got, man, there are some really cool and intelligent people in the chat, and then there you got some people that, hey, you know. But thank you for being part of this program. But I've got to say this. I posted in the chat that the and Patriot Doc and I were talking about various things. Oh, and there's one more thing that we were talking about as well. But the FBI, they've got possession of the P. Diddy Combs tapes, right? And you see the Harris campaign in trouble, so they're bringing out celebrities. Well, gee whiz, right now, the timing is a little weird, right? Is this a last-ditch effort on the left, by the left? No. Well, yeah, it is, but it's not only that. How would you imagine this? You're an entertainer. You're big in the music business or entertainment business. And you attended one of the P. Diddy freak-offs or whatever, right? And the left is in trouble. And you get a knock on the door. And they say, hey, come here. Check this video out here. Bruce? Oh, I didn't know that was recorded. Hey, Bruce, I got to ask you, you know, there's this rally or there's this town hall or there's this public appearance. You might want to come over and make an endorsement. Look at some of the faces. I'm telling you, look at some of the faces on these people when they're making their endorsements. Do they look like hostages? I'm just saying. And one other tip I got, I spoke with the Patriot Doc as well. Look, there are messages going out over certain networks to prepare places like nursing homes, medical centers, to prepare for power outages, to lose. I mean, hey, look, power. What would happen if there was a power outage? I'll be getting into more of that tomorrow night. But as well, tomorrow night, the bad news and the less bad news. And it's deep and it's heavy. And I've got the receipts. I do. Man, it's incredible. We are in an uphill battle no matter what. And I want to thank Steve for his time here with us. If anything, one last thing before I leave, if there is anything good to say about the outcome and the resistors during the so-called COVID-19 crisis, doctors who defied that narrative have discovered alternative treatments, actually alternative treatments for cancer drugs. And you know, you might know this, folks, but I'm telling you, there are some things that they found do work. And I had a discussion two days ago with my own family doctor, and we were talking about this fact as well. And he said, look, there are some cancer treatments that suddenly we're finding. And it had to do with the use of antiparasiticals, if that's a word. And more on that later. But I want to thank each and every one of you for your support. Thank you so much for being a part of this. And please, I ask that you spread the word about the show. If you like it, if not, well, hey, sorry. But God bless each and every one of you. And I just really appreciate all of you. Have a good night.